Good morning. I'd like to welcome you all to Baptist Christian Church this morning. If you'd turn in your bulletins with me, we'll look at this week's announcements. Today, directly after Sunday school, or morning worship, we're going to have Sunday school at 10:45. You're all welcome to join. Tuesday at 6:30 is Mission Committee meeting. And then Wednesday at 6:30 is the midweek prayer and Bible study, discussing the book, If You Want to Walk on Water, You've Got to Get Out of the Boat by John Ortberg. And then Thursday night, we have the Little Crusaders kids at 3:15 to 5:30. That's kindergarten through sixth grade. And then after that, from 6 to 8, it'll be the teens to meet. If you would like to help some kids with their homework, please be here by 3:15. We'd like to extend our sympathy to Ray Henry and Ed Dishman and Zach at the passing of Tina Dishman this past Monday. The Crusaders teens are in need of pop in the cans. Please take your donations to the kitchen, and thank you for your help. You can read through the harvest offering. The goal was set at $8,000 this year at our quarterly business meeting. And last Sunday, we voted to use $1,000 of the harvest offering for the bee problem at the BCH Independent Living Home in Lafayette, $3,000 for the 5/18/14 Community Family Fun event we are sponsoring, and the remainder of the offering will be deposited into the church building fund. This week's memory verse was from Revelation 1:6, and has made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Then had a few cards that needed to read. First one says, may the Lord bless and keep each of you. Our sincere thanks to Pastor Rich for this message and prayers for our daughter, wife, and mother, Tina Dishman, to all those who came, and for the many prayers offered on our behalf. To all the ladies who work in the food, thank you so much, the family of Tina Dishman. And then another one says, thank you for your gift of cleaning supplies. We truly appreciate your thoughtfulness. And that was signed by many at Baptist Children's Home. The family of Donna Bell Hinkle thanks you for your kind expression of sympathy. Thank you so much for the flowers, the family of Donna Bell. That's it. Thank you.
Good morning. It's good to see you this morning on a beautiful day that we can come and worship the Lord. I will make a correction. I didn't get a chance to talk to Rick. There is no missions committee this Tuesday, okay? So if you're on the missions committee, you've got a free evening. And we'll reschedule that in the near future and let you know about that. God is good. Amen. Amen. What a blessing. And we're glad that we can be here to worship in his house, to worship him and listen to what he has to say and meet with him on an individual basis. Let's just bow in prayer now and ask him to minister to us. Let's bow in prayer. Eternal God, our loving Heavenly Father, what a privilege and a joy it is to gather in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as the redeemed of God. Thank you for our salvation. Thank you for all the blessings. Father, thank you for your mercy and your grace. It is our delight to come before you and offer to you spiritual sacrifices of praise and worship. And we pray that they will be a sweet-smelling savor to you. We come this morning to you in need. We are battle-weary. And Father, we need what you have for us today. We need to be strengthened and rejuvenated. We need to be refreshed. And we thank you that the Holy Spirit will do all of that for us. We thank you that we get to look into your word this morning and allow it to do its purifying work in our heart. So we would ask that you and you alone would be glorified. We pray that you'll meet with us in a way that will change our lives forever. Please accept our tithes and offerings given to you in love, out of the desire of our heart, and we'll praise and honor and glorify you in the eternal, matchless, saving name of the one and only Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
If you're able, please stand for the reading of God's word. Scripture today is 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you believe this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praise of him who called you out of the darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now that you are the people of God, you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." May God add his reading to his word.
Bow in prayer with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of praying to you. Thank you for the invitation to come to you confidently as many times as we need to come to you. Thank you for all that you have done to establish a relationship, to provide salvation. Thank you, Father, for choosing and calling us to be saved. And we thank you for directing us to this place today. Our Father, we do need what you have for us this morning. We have been tempted, and in some cases we have been defeated. We are thankful that all our sin is forgiven in Christ Jesus. But our Father, we confess those times when we have failed you in this past week. We know that you're faithful and just to cleanse us. We need help in ridding ourselves of the malice and the envy, the strife, the slander, those things that yet haunt us from our old life. And we thank you that you're a God who delights in blessing those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, those who meditate day and night in your word. Thank you, Father, that you have given us a word that is in every way flawless, that we can come to it with the complete assurance that we are hearing the infallible word of God spoken and directed to our hearts. We thank you for the great power that you have to sustain, to encourage, to bless, to lift up. And we would ask that you would do that for those of our number today that are struggling spiritually. We know that Satan is alive and battles us, and it seems like when we want to come closer to you, when we make a commitment to you, the enemy works harder. God, you have told us that greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. Thank you for the promise of victory. Thank you for the ability to persevere. And God, I pray that you will show those walking through spiritual battles the still waters quickly. We pray that you'll undertake for those suffering physically. Most of us cannot imagine what that must be to suffer constantly, 24/7, all day, every day. God, how we thank you for your undertaking for them. You know those of our number who need the strength, and where it is pleasing to you, would you bring relief even for just a little while? We pray for our country today and ask you, Father, to help us have a mind to turn back to you. We have rejected you, rebelled against you, and we know that you do not take lightly of that. We know that you will not ignore it. We know, Father, full well that judgment is in our future if we do not repent, turn back to you, and confess our sins to you. So we pray for our leaders in every part of our government, in every part of our country. God, only you can change hearts. And it is our prayer today that you would change hearts, not just in the government, not just of those unchurched or unsaved, but where necessary, you would change hearts in this room. We all need to draw nearer to you. And we are all thankful, Father, that you are building us, that you are constantly working in our hearts. And so we ask you, Lord Jesus, to minister to us. We ask you to teach us now by your grace, in Jesus' name, amen. Working our way through 1 Peter, what a great little book. He continues to enlighten us as he unfolds the Master's master plan for all true Christians. Did you ever wonder why a thrice holy God, before the foundation of the world, would find it in his heart to choose even one human being to dwell in his eternal heaven with him? Why would such a holy God reach so far down into sin and sinfulness to rescue any person from eternal damnation, especially at the cost of his own son's sinless life? What is it that drives the Almighty I Am to declare a condemned and rebellious, disobedient creature to be redeemed, to be revived, reborn into a temple fit for the Holy Spirit of God? The answer to all those questions come from God's own mouth when he told the prophet Jeremiah, "I have loved you with an everlasting love. I loved you from before the foundation of the world, and I will love you through all eternity with an infinite love that sees no end, that cannot diminish, and that will never turn away." I don't know if you contemplate that very often, but you ought to contemplate that. You ought to just think about the fact that Peter starts out by saying, we've been chosen, we've been selected, we've been set apart. And then he dwells on that. And today he's going to show us even more of the blessing of being called to salvation. Back in Proverbs chapter 2, beginning in verse 2, Solomon says this. Verse 1, he says, "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding," he says, "if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as silver and search for it as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." And in that context, this passage then is certainly at least part of the mother lode. Because Peter tells us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit what God is doing and how we have been redeemed to royalty. Did you ever think of yourself like that? Peter draws us Christward. And he tells us how God expects us to work and to fulfill this in our lives. He says, first of all, there are some responsibilities of our redemption. The first part of that is a continual coming. In verse 4, he says, "As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him." Peter is saying, as you keep on coming to him, I wish they would translate it like that, because continual coming is the whole idea throughout the New Testament. If you look closely, you'll see that God's telling us that our coming to him is a process, not an event. Now, that'll unfold a little more as we work through this. We don't often think of our salvation like that. See, we think, And it's partly because of the instantaneous culture we live in. We want something done and then we move on to something else. We kind of think once we come to Christ or once we pray that prayer of salvation. Once we're saved, that's all there is to it. We're forgiven, we're redeemed, we're in, we're part of the family, we're going to heaven, and that's it. So we've come, we're done. The problem with that is, nowhere does Scripture ever teach that. One of the reasons that so many people are weak as Christians, they're uneducated about the things of God, they're ignorant of any reason why they believe what they believe, and they're ineffective in showing the glory of God through salvation because they don't keep coming to Christ. Wouldn't it be awful on our part if God says, now you come to me at salvation, and then I'll come to you that one time and we'll be done? That'd be kind of a crummy way to live, wouldn't it? God keeps coming to us, and he keeps calling us to him. But so many times, we don't continually come to him. Every authoritative, valid version, and many of the better translations, render this verse in the context of a continual coming to Christ. The New King James gets it exactly. It translated, as you are coming to him. How many times in a day do you go to Christ to talk with him or ask him about something? Now, some of you are smiling. I see that. And so you're thinking, often, the Lord and I commune through the day. What a great way to live. How many times do little children come to us throughout the day and say, can I, or make a request to us? They're coming constantly, aren't they? See? And that's the way God wants us to be, continually coming to him. True biblical Christianity never allows us to be flexible with our old nature. The Bible demands a relentless severity toward ungodly thinking, toward ungodly acting, toward ungodly speaking. And that's how Peter begins this chapter. He says, because you've been born into a new life through a living Savior, you've been given a new hope that demands a holy life through a holy love. Because all that's true, he says in verse 1 of chapter 2, therefore, based on all of it's in chapter 1, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander, what? Of every kind. All of every kind. And he's telling us, you do that constantly coming. Why? So that you can, like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk. Why? So that you can grow up into your salvation. And so we're to constantly come to him. And then we're to notice that there is to be also a continual construction. You can see the consistency. He says this in verse 5. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. Now, do you notice how everything is consistent in this? You keep coming because God is continually building you. Every day, all day, throughout the course of our saved life, God builds, we said a couple weeks ago, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, little by little, God builds us. We are under continual construction. Beloved, some of you struggle in certain areas of your lives, or some of you struggle in your lives because the construction has come to a screeching halt. Why? Because you've taken all the permits away from God. God wants to constantly build you. And the way God does that is constantly take you to James chapter 1, where he brings different trials, different tests to you, each one a little harder, each one a little harder. Why? Building constantly. Peter's explaining to us, we are throughout the course of our earthly life being built into a spiritual house. Another way to look at it is this: God is retraining us to think from a spiritual viewpoint. He's retraining us or teaching us to work from the inside out. And it never stops. Now, watch. We're being designed or built, why? To be a holy priesthood. I'm going to tell you in a minute how that plays in. But do you understand from the Old Testament, the priests were the only ones that had access to God directly. And in our salvation, we've been made priests. We are given the opportunity to go directly to God as our Father. And that's a privilege. And God wants to continually build us into what He's designed us to be. Now, in order for that to happen, there has to be a continual concession. Watch. We are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. Why is He doing that? To offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And I want you to notice that living is continual, being built, continual, offering spiritual sacrifices. These are all continual processes. These are the responsibilities that we have as believers. We are responsible to continually carry on these things. And beloved, let me tell you something. Like so many places in Scripture, this is built one upon the other. If I'm not continually coming to my Heavenly Father, I can come to Him in my quiet time. And I can say, "Speak to me." I can come to Him in prayer. And I'm invited to offer the things on my heart to Him. And I should. And since He knows it all anyway, I should tell Him, "Lord, I'm frustrated. Lord, I'm confused. I don't understand. Lord, I'm afraid." He already knows that. I'm to come to Him continually. And I'm to do it with the idea that as I keep coming, He's going to keep building. And He's teaching me to offer to Him spiritual sacrifices. Want an example of that? Ryan. And all the other musicians, all the teachers who could be doing other things at that time, but they're giving God time to learn so they can minister. Offering sacrifices from the heart. Let me ask you something. When you got up this morning to come here, why did you come? Duh, it's Sunday morning. Why did you come? Did you get up this morning and say, "This day I get to meet with my Lord in worship. This day I'm going to join the family. We will come together and we are going to fellowship, we're going to pray, we're going to sing, we're going to worship. I need to hear from my God today. I need this." And the other side of that is, well, it's Sunday morning, I got to get up and put in an appearance so I can be seen and you know, look good. Those are the folks that don't get it. It's a spiritual sacrifice, which Paul tells the Romans in chapter 12 and verse 2 is our reasonable service. There's that word reasonable again, logical. You see, from a New Testament perspective, only spiritual sacrifices are acceptable to God. See, coming here to be seen, putting money in the offering plate for a tax deduction or Because you think it's something that'll get you in good with God. All that other stuff that you hear so much. Okay? Those are not acceptable. The only sacrifices that are acceptable are the sacrifices that come from a heart submitted to God. And he tells us that it must come to God through Jesus Christ. I can't do it on my own. I need him. And it is my responsibility to let him do that. It is my response to my redemption that causes me to dwell here. You see, if you won't keep coming, you can't be continually built into the person that God has designed you to be. You see, too many people try to live right here, and they say, I'm going to do this the way I think it ought to be done. And what's happening is this. They're saying, I want salvation and all that God offers on my terms. It's that on my terms that cuts it off. There's only one way God's going to do it, and that's his way. See, we messed it up in Eden. We have no hope of unmessing it by ourselves. Jesus came and said, this is what it looks like unmessed up. And you know, there's nothing about Richard Utterback that's pleasing to God. When God looks at Richard Utterback, he does not see my righteousness because they're like filthy rags. He doesn't see my works because they're just not good enough. But when God looks at Richard Utterback, he sees the righteousness of Christ. He sees the indwelling Holy Spirit as the identifying mark. You see, I can give him all I want to all day long. But if it's not the righteousness of Christ, it doesn't count. Where do I get that? Here. How do I do that? Just like it tells me. Why would I do that? In grateful adoration for the amazing grace God showed to me. You see, the whole thing is this. As long as we say, I don't need that stuff, you will continue to be what you are right now. And kind of the interesting thing is this. What you are right now is not God, is not all God has or wants you to be. Do you understand? I'm going to share a little more of that with you. God has an amazing plan for us, and Peter's telling us that. If I look in verses 6 through 8, it says this. Scripture says, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone. That's Christ. The one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. That's a true Christian that gets it, that understands Christ is the beginning and end of their life, and all about them is to honor and glorify God, even to their own private thoughts. Now, to you who believe, this stone is precious. Is that the way you see it? Amen. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. You know what that is? Do you know what a capstone is? In the arches that they made in those days, they had, and we see them, there's an individual stone that goes like this. The one at the very top of the center is wedged. When that stone is set in place, all the weight of the arch rests on that, and that stone keeps everything where it should be. That's the most important stone in the whole construction. Peter is saying, in the design of your life, as you're being built, Christ is the capstone of your life. He's the most important thing. You take Christ out, your life will crumble, and some of you know that. Some of you are trying. Some of you keep trying to put anything in there but the capstone. And the capstone's the only thing that'll hold it. And he's getting that across to us. And he says, it is a stone that causes men to stumble, a rock that makes them fall. And they stumble, why? Because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. Here's another way to say that. When God calls men to redemption, when he calls people to be saved, he says, I'm calling you, and you've heard me say, on purpose, for a purpose. It is Ephesians 2:10. It is to do works God planned in advance for us to do. What kind of works? Those works that tell the lost and the unsaved, God's plan of salvation is real and it does work. It changes lives from the inside out. God has predestined us to be conformed to the image of Christ. And beloved, you need to put that together. And you need to understand that. You need to stay in the book, because we are living in an age when the new evangelicals and new evangelicalism and all this 21st century easy believism is now taking the Bible and beginning to combine it with everything else around to say, see, it's all the same. It's all truth. And you know what? There are a lot of people who claim to be Christians falling for that stuff. You know why? Because it's easier. Because it has to do with the world, not with God. Peter is telling us we've been saved and we are destined to be like Christ. And everything about our life needs to manifest that. It is our responsibility of our redemption. But there are some results of our redemption too. And this is kind of fun. It is a positive viewpoint of redemption. If a person has a wrong response to their salvation, that person can't have a proper recognition or a proper idea of the royalty that is theirs because of the new birth. Now, you see four character qualities, don't you? One is that we are chosen. Remember, God chose me. Why? He wanted you. When God chose you, he did like David says, he reached down from on high and he took hold of you and he lifted you up and set you in a spacious place. Why? Because he delights in you. We are chosen. He wanted you so much that his sacrifice for you was his own sinless son. So the question is, what are you willing to sacrifice for him? What will you give up because of what he gave up for you? We are royalty. I love this. He says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. You see, when God saves us, and you know this, right? At the instant of your salvation, you become part of the family of God. He adopts you into his family. That makes you royalty. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is God who is God. Because you are the first generation, an adopted child of the King, you are a prince or princess by definition. You are royal. You're not just royal, but you're a royal priest, adopted into the priesthood by the chief priest. You have a very high standing. It is the result of your salvation. This is the blessing God wants to share with you. It is not just a common royalty. It is a holy royalty. You are sanctified, set apart. You are special. God, that's the way Peter begins his message when he says, we are sanctified. Beloved, listen, if you're going to be set apart in this world, you want to be set apart to God. Huh? There is no higher calling. Now listen very carefully. This is where the rub comes. Some of you are not going to like this. I understand that. Because we are holy, then, we are by definition confronted with the truth that a person cannot on one hand say, I am a child of the King, and on the other hand, demonstrate in their daily life, nothing happened. You cannot say, I'm a Christian, and live in the world, or live like the world. Can't do that. And this says that. This is where I get that stuff. We're set apart. So do you see how he's building on this? It's one thing to be chosen. If God didn't do anything else, wouldn't that be wonderful? But God didn't just choose us. He chose us to royalty. Not just royalty, but a holy royalty. And on top of that, we are a people belonging to God. Did you see the news story about the young man who all his life has been raised in foster homes, and he was in a church service. I'm not sure if it was his church. I think it was. I kind of missed that part. But you know what? He stood up and he, in tears, I mean, this young man was heartbroken. He said, would somebody please adopt me that I can have a home where I can learn to love the Lord? And do you know what? He's got people standing in line to adopt him. You have been adopted by God. You belong to him. Okay? There's no better belonging. Why? Why? Well, he tells us in the last part of this. He says, we are adopted on purpose, that we may declare the praises of him who called you. Now, Peter is saying this. We are to declare the praises of him who called you. Understand? Listen to me. That's your lifestyle. What does my life look like? Praises to the God who called me to salvation. How do I learn that? We're back where we started. And see, I praise him because he called me out of darkness. In December, we're going to look at this in the greatest treatise that's been written on the incarnation. And we're going to look and see how we've been called out of darkness. You know what darkness is? It's the absence of light. You can't find your way out. If there's no light, there's no direction. But we've been called into his wonderful light. Now, here's an explanation. We've been called out of darkness to declare. Watch. It is a continual life and lifestyle that is what? Intentional and deliberate in the declaration of the excellencies of God. In other words, he's saying, as a believer, I make an intentional and deliberate choice every day of my life, all day long, so that my actions, my words, my interpersonal relationship, everything about me declares the excellencies, the praises, the characteristics, all of that that are consistent with the God who saved me. I am so grateful for my salvation because he redeemed me out of eternal damnation and out of eternal damnation into eternal holiness. He took me from one end of the spectrum to the other. Amen. You have been redeemed to royalty. It is okay to live like a king, to live like a princess, to live like a priest. But remember, you are to live as a holy priesthood. Okay? Father, there's nothing else to say other than amen and thank you. Help us. Work in our lives in such a way that we understand from our heart what Peter is saying. Help us to realize because of what you've done, we do have responsibilities. And that what you have made us and what you are building us into in the image of Christ carries with it a high and holy calling and a privilege. So, Father, remind us daily to live a life by deliberate choice that declares the excellence and the praises of the God who saved us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.